Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, we're back right now for the time being, for a short period of time, just two nights a week live as we retool and get our forces together for a new push. We'll keep you posted on how that goes. In the meantime, we have to kind of catch up on what's happening with the big shooting. And I must tell you, yesterday morning, it was spellbound. Mike Brockenfeld, our engineer, coming in. Were you watching? Do you get up in the morning and turn the news on, or are you just kind of...
Not so much.
Not so much. Well, I mean, you know, you're sitting there, and the news is on, and there's a shooting, you know, and people are talking about this guy.
Yeah, I definitely heard it.
And I'll tell you right now, I mean, it's true, they've made these points, but this dude, this James Hodgkinson of Belleville, Illinois, somehow goes to Alexandria, hangs out for days or weeks, lives out of his car and stuff. And I'm thinking, how did he know there was a baseball practice at like 6 in the morning? How did he know this? Well, it turns out the New York Times had a story on them practicing there. Why they would include the location of this practice is beyond me. I mean, it's not common knowledge where the congressmen are going to practice.
Right.
And according to one of the congressmen, the shooter said, who's out here, Democrats or Republicans? And they said, Republicans. So his research, you know, wasn't really that good, but he just goes and starts wailing, starts shooting with a long gun, which they take forever to say what kind of a gun it was, but plenty of rounds. So it looks like, it sounds like, had the two Capitol cops who were only there because the Steve Scalise of Louisiana, who was hit in the hip and is still in critical condition, which we'll get to, because he's third in line. The guy is the whip.
Yeah.
Third in line. So he had protection 24-7. If he didn't show up for the practice, it would have been a massacre. It would have been, you know, big time, just execution-style massacre. The guy would have walked around the fence, and he had plenty of ammo, and all they had were baseballs and baseball bats.
Right.
It would have been a total massacre. And the two officers, one man and one woman, had pistols. And this dude had a big, long, military-style semi-automatic weapon with plenty of ammo. And then eventually, the Alexandria cops showed up. But, you know, they were kept at, he was kept at bay by the two cops.
Yeah, most
who were in the different position when he started firing.
Yeah, they should have those kind of guns in their car. But,
well,
you know, that doesn't do them much good standing right there.
And so then the backup showed up, and of course the people... And you can imagine, they thought that it was like an eternity before the,
yeah.
A, before the good guys started shooting back, and B, before the backup arrived. They felt like it was 100 years, you know.
It's going to feel like,
I mean,
that.
Can you imagine, in 3 minutes or 4 minutes, I mean, it's got to feel like 10 years,
yeah.
Right? And, of course, I love the cops. They're going to, we want to congratulate the Alexandria police. They got there in 3 minutes, and of course we do. But, you know, they all want to. They want to, you know, like put the best face on. Why don't they just say, look, we got there as soon as we could, but it wasn't for those two cops. They would all been dead. I mean, granted, maybe the guy would have had to reload or something, and the backup could have gotten there.
Depends, yeah.
We have the baseball game, the Democrats against the Republicans, scheduled tonight. In a couple of hours, they're going to play in D.C., and who knows how many people show up now. They raise money for charity. Let's go to CBS News. They did kind of recap. This shooter who's dead, the only one who died out of the deal was the shooter, James T. Hodgkinson from Belleville, Illinois, Bernie Sanders supporter, definitely a leftist. And we can call him a leftist terrorist because he tried to kill a bunch of the Republicans. Let's go over the CBS News report.
In 2011, Hodgkinson, who was active politically, was interviewed at an Occupy Wall Street protest.
99% are getting pushed around, and the 1% are just not giving a damn.
He was also known to post anti-Republican comments online. On Facebook recently, he was direct about his disdain for the president. Trump is a traitor, and he has destroyed our democracy. He wrote on March 22nd, It's time to destroy Trump and company. 2 days later, March 24th, neighbors near his home in Belleville, Illinois, called police to complain of a subject in the pine trees shooting. According to the sheriff's office, it was Hodgkinson, and deputies told him not to discharge his weapon in the area. He did have a valid firearms license and was not charged. And just yesterday, Hodgkinson posted on the Facebook page of a group called Terminate the Republican Party, calling the Republicans thieving and cheating. Mary Ellen O'Toole is a former FBI profiler.
One of the primary personality traits is someone who's an injustice collector. This is someone who goes through life and they look for grievances that are occurring to them and they blame other people for it.
In 2006, Hodgkinson was arrested when he punched a woman in the face and threatened another man in the home with a shotgun, hitting him with the weapon and then firing a shot as the man ran away.
We have another one down. I think it was a total of 5 down.
Investigators are now tracing the assault rifle and handgun used in today's attack and going through an old white conversion van the FBI thinks Hodgkinson may have been living in. They believe that he has been in the Alexandria area since March. Back in Illinois, Hodgkinson had been a volunteer for the Bernie Sanders campaign. Today, Senator Sanders said that he was sickened by the attack.
Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms.
So far, Scott, investigators have found no connection to domestic or international terror groups. Witnesses say Hodgkinson had recently been hanging out at the YMCA, which is near the baseball field. Tonight, police are asking the public to report any past sightings of the suspect as they try to build a full timeline.
Isn't always a white van. There's always a white van, isn't there?
Usually.
You know, my ex-wife, when we were dating 30 years ago, some dude would follow her around in a white van.
Oh, no.
Some former would-be boyfriend or something. It's a white van. What is it with white vans, anyway?
White Broncos.
You listen to a white Bronco. You listen to the election coverage. Somebody calls in, I saw a white van with Illinois plates. There could have been some African-Americans in the back. You know, we hear that. White vans. Always a white van. Now, apparently this guy was a fan of the Rachel Maddow show and loved it. And Rachel was hearing these reports, so she acknowledged that, but said that he never contacted the show. Here's Rachel.
His social media presence indicates he was very critical of President Trump. He had been very critical of Republicans generally, even before President Trump. He was an angry critic, in particular, of the issue of income inequality. In electoral politics, he was apparently a fan and supporter of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. There are reports that he may have volunteered for the Sanders campaign last year, although the Sanders campaign said today they have no record of him. His local paper in Illinois, frankly, says he once submitted a letter to the editor that cited statistics about political donations that he says he heard on this TV show, because he says he watched this TV show. I should tell you that we went through our correspondence today. As soon as we got his name, as soon as we got that detail about him, we didn't find any evidence that he ever sent anything to this show or tried to contact us at all. But obviously, the combination of the target of his attack, these Republican members of Congress, and the online evidence of his political views, that has driven speculation, driven concern about whether this was a politically motivated shooting today. And although we have had a lot of shootings in this country, there have not been a lot of politically motivated shootings over the history of this republic.
And of course, they didn't want to connect the dots. First of all, the person responsible for the shooting is the shooter. Not Facebook. We'll get to discourse. I'm going to talk to Sly at 5:30 about that, about discourse, about how vicious it is. And it is vicious on Facebook, on live chat, on our website. It's just, it can be totally vicious, and we'll get to it. And so you wonder, the guy was textbook in his political rhetoric. I mean, he was big time in the 1%, 99% thing. Loved Bernie and, you know, hated Republicans. He actually said Trump is a traitor on Facebook and joined the Facebook group Terminate the Republican Party. I mean, so let's call this a political shooting. He was motivated by politics. Why else did he do it? He didn't know these Republicans out there playing baseball. It was definitely a political shooting, which we don't often have. Usually our mass shooters are just nuts. And the guy was obviously nuts, but he had a reason for his shooting. He wasn't just like John Hinckley, who was trying to impress Jodie Foster back in the day when he shot Ronald Reagan. I mean, you know, not playing with a full deck. I mean, you know. But now, Newt Gingrich, here's what's been going on here, and we'll build on this, too. We've had some, you know, Rush Limbaugh and others, and they point this out. They point about the vitriolic rhetoric from the left. Now, Nancy Pelosi, we'll hear from later, she goes nuts because she gets calls at home, her grandkids are harassed, so she's talking about stuff from the right. So everybody's been hit with hardcore, in-your-face vitriol from the left or the right. But in the case of Trump, he's hated. I mean, there's hatred there. There's real, honest-to-God, raw hatred. So here's Gingrich reacting to the climate, the discourse in terms of the anti-Trump sentiments.
You've had an increasing intensity of hostility on the left. Look, I talk to college students regularly who say to me, if they openly are for Trump, they get threatened. Mm-hmm. I've had college students say they're threatened with getting beaten up. Some of them get death threats. The intensity on the left is very real, whether it is somebody holding up a so-called comedian, holding up, you know, the president's head in blood, or it's right here in New York City, a play that shows the president being assassinated, or it's Democratic leading national politicians who are so angry they have to use vulgarity because they can't find any common language to talk.
But Speaker,
this intensity has been building, I think, since election night.
And Melissa Francis is on the couch.
Sorry, with respect, though, I mean, even if everything you're saying is true, to talk about it in those kind of terms of left and right now in the wake of it, does that make sense? Does it make it worse?
You want to know the truth.
But do you rise above it and say,
no,
we all need to stay calm and focus on the work ahead of us?
You've had a series of things which send signals that tell people that it's okay to hate Trump. It's okay to think of Trump in violent terms. It's okay to consider assassinating Trump. And then suddenly we're supposed to rise above it until the next time.
So I think this is a moment, though, where you realize at the end of the day, the climate has been so divisive, it has been so political, and this is a time where you say, these are all human beings, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, we are all Americans, we're all in this fight together. You have been in Washington for years, you have experienced many events. Walk us through, do you compare this to anything that has been experienced on Capitol Hill in the past?
Well, look, I think it's different. When I was Speaker, we had an incident one Friday where suddenly the police broke into my office, told me to stay, and I had no idea what was going on. Well, two of our policemen, Capitol policemen, had been killed directly under my office by a person who was deranged, who came in, and before he went to the metal detector, pulled out a pistol and started shooting. Now, it was a very horrifying event. We are told in this case, and this is the only point I want to make to just try to drive this home, we're told in this case, this guy goes out and says, are they Democrats or Republicans? Well, that's a pretty directed kind of behavior. I don't know of any.
Okay, we'll come back to the Ray here from Pelosi, who tries to turn the tables. But, you know, we're going to lead into this. We got Sly coming up at 5:30 to talk about discourse. Whatever happened to being able to disagree totally and say, well, I don't agree at all, and have people not take it personally? Why people feel threatened by opposing views is really what I want to get into, because it goes to a deep level of insecurity, and I have it with Frank Sinatra, I'll admit that, or certain sports teams. You revert back to childhood on that, but politics I can do. I don't care what your views are. We'll come back. So much to discuss, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, on the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the Major League record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Okie dokie. So the word gets out to Nancy Pelosi that the Republicans are saying the rhetoric, and we're going to hear actually from Rodney Allen, too. We have Rodney, right? Here's Pelosi saying, are you kidding me? Give me a break. Because she's had the calls at home and the picketing outside the house, too, obviously.
I think that the comments made by my Republican colleagues are outrageous beneath the dignity of the job that they hold, beneath the dignity of the respect that we would like Congress to command. How dare they say such a thing? How dare they? I don't even go into the whole thing. I can't even begin. Probably as we sit here, they're running caricatures of me and George once again. We're in over $100 million of vitriolic things that they say that resulted in calls to my home constantly. Threats in front of my grandchildren, really predicated on their comments and their paid ads. So this sick individual does something despicable, and it was horrible what he did, hateful. But for them to all of a sudden be sanctimonious as if they don't never seen such a thing before. And I don't even want to go into the President of the United States, but in terms of some of the language that he has used. So, again, let's go there another day. But since you asked, how could they possibly say such a thing? First of all, the timing of it all. Everybody is so sad, so concerned, so coming together. Let us all take a step back, examine our own conscience, see what negative attitudes we can all curtail. But the sanctimony of it all, really. Really? What do you think? Don't you think it's strange? Don't you think it's strange that instead of praying, be prayerful about all of this, that they would start saying, let's have this conversation another day, okay?
I understand why she was irked about her own experiences, but The deal is, this guy, this James Hodgkinson, could have been on the panel at CNN. He could have been on the panel. I mean, he was on news clips at home in Belleville talking about the 1%, the 99%, the tax brackets. They should go back to the way it was in the 50s. I mean, it was classic mainstream Democratic rhetoric. The guy could have been on any of those panels. So, we don't often have just blatant political shootings in this country. Usually our nutcases are doing it out of fanaticism based on personal derangement, or in the case of international, I mean, extremist, Islamist extremists are doing it quite a bit with the various shootings in Orlando and Fort Hood and San Bernardino and so forth. Yeah, but Mitch, what about Oklahoma City? I understand Oklahoma City. Now we have not a deranged right-wing white guy. We have a deranged left-wing white guy. Nobody has a corner in the market, by the way. And then we had a nice deal. You had Joe Barton of Texas and Mike Doyle, a Democrat from Pittsburgh, the two respective managers, coaches of the baseball teams, Democrat and Republican baseball teams, as they were practicing for their charity game tonight. And they're standing there saying, you know, and of course, Mike Doyle, the Democrat, invited the Republicans to come to the Democratic Campaign Committee headquarters for dinner, which never happens. And Doyle started to talk about how things have changed in 30 years.
That there's so much pressure on members to get home right after the last vote. You see us all running to National or to, you know, to Dulles to get on planes because we're not allowed to stay here because then we've gone Washington. We got to be back home in our districts. And the things that used to bring members together, whether it's travel, that's frowned upon. If you belong to the gym, they think, well, that's a perk you shouldn't have. All the chances to interact with each other outside our suits and outside floor debate is few and far between. And I think it's and Joe's right. When he and I first got here, there wasn't social media. There wasn't the internet. But, you know, now people get information out of a fire hydrant, much of it without a filter. And the level of discourse has become, it's not people don't look at each other eye to eye. They use the two thumbs and insult one another. I just think lessen the civility not just in politics, but in day-to-day interaction with people that you see outside too. So it's just a different era we're operating in that is a little bit tougher than the one we operated in prior to all these changes.
And that's true. And we'll get to this with Sly after the break at 5:30, and we'll hear one more from Rodney Allen in a minute. But I've never understood why you can't say, well, I disagree totally. I'm on the opposite side of that. You and I are on opposite sides. Why does it have to be personal? I mean, it's just, you can stand by your beliefs. I don't care if you're communist. Forget about socialist. I don't care if you're communist. Who cares? I'll say, well, I think you're wrong. Or, you know, you have a right to be misguided, or you have a right to be wrong, or whatever. But it doesn't have to be angry, because some people can't talk about politics, let's face it. They avoid politics because they get angry, which means they want you to agree with them, or they get angry, which makes them a fascist. I'm sorry. We have a right to, we're allowed to disagree here. If we can't talk about this in a civil way, then let's not talk about it. That's what the therapist would say during our marriage counseling. We had about five or six different ones over the years. I mean, it was always entertaining when we went in because we'd go for an hour and just go around in circles. And one of our therapists said, boy, you two are good at this. I'm impressed. But he would say to me, you can't, if you're going to both be irrational, it doesn't do any good to talk to somebody who's being irrational. And let's face it, people get emotional in marriage and relationships. And there is no rational thought. Rationality, common sense, logic, that doesn't make any sense. And there's no place for it at that moment. Nobody wants to hear it. The next word is, well, you know, blank you. I mean, there's no rationality there. There's too much emotion. Let's end with this from Rodney Allen. Then we'll go to the break and Sly will come out. We'll talk about it. Rodney Allen of Illinois, who was at the field and was, of course, saved and not hit.
We've got to ratchet down this hateful political rhetoric that we see all over social media, all over the news media, in Washington, in our state houses. You know, we can argue about policy differences, but we have to always realize that we're Americans first, and we have the ability to actually govern. We have the ability to choose our leaders. Let's settle our policy differences at the ballot box, not with bullets on a baseball field like many of us had to witness yesterday.
Tom Brokaw.
Well, Congressman, also, but much too, I mean, as tragic as that was yesterday, as unsettling as it was, and it took it to a whole different level. At the same time, in California, three UPS employees were killed by a disgruntled worker who then committed suicide. And that has become routine in America as well. And we don't have the same level of condemnation for a lot of those workforce kinds of outrages that go on. So it seems to me that this is an opportunity for everyone to understand that we've got a virus in our country, or beyond a virus, really, in terms of picking up a gun to solve a problem, however large or however small it may be. Thank God that you're okay, and that we hope that everybody's going to be fine there. But there's nothing to indicate that there are others out there who would like to duplicate that in some fashion.
You know, I could never understand how Brokaw got so, I mean, he's, I'm sure he's a wonderful man. He wrote that great book about the World War II general. How did he ever rise to those levels of the business not seeing his L's? Yeah. Can you ever ask yourself that? How the man never made it so far and he couldn't say his L's? Oh, well, I don't mean to jump. I mean, play. They want to play baseball. No, Tom, it's play. I mean, I will come back. Sly Sylvester, one of my favorite broadcast chums going way back, comes up next. We'll talk about discourse. Sly has not been one to shy away from discourse in his career. We'll take your calls as well at 210-1667, area code 608, 210-1667. This is the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How do you differ from those firms that do commercials where they brag about winning $1 million settlement?
We've all seen the commercials on TV where attorneys are bragging about multi-million dollar settlements. That can be somewhat misleading. Achieving $1 million settlement doesn't necessarily mean that there was great legal work done. You could have a $2 million case, and you could have a lawyer who settles it prematurely for $1 million. Well, they got a $1 million result. but that doesn't necessarily mean high-quality legal work was done. We get the vast majority of our cases through referrals from former clients and predominantly from other lawyers in the community who send us their clients to ask if we can help them with their personal injury cases.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Kammer, and Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome to The Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hanks Show.
One of my oldest friends in broadcasting, Sly Sylvester, the pride of Madison Memorial High School, James Madison, still haven't changed the name yet. Hello, Sly.
Yes, and as far as I'm concerned, it will always be James.
Always be James Madison,
Madison Memorial High School.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, I'm horrified to hear that I stood you up on an interview, and I apologize. Was this in the last year it happened, or when did this take place?
Like last week.
Last week? I never thought we confirmed.
You said, can you come on? And then
Oh, well, you know what? I apologize, but I know last week I must not have thought we had a confirmation, so I apologize. Also,
well, that's okay.
Before we get into...
By the way, let's talk about that Madison Memorial thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That girl said that she didn't feel safe there. That seems new cliche. The new cliche. Remember the college kids who didn't feel safe because the police came and arrested the Packer?
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
No one feels safe. Yeah, the only reason not to feel safe at Madison Memorial is when one of the ne'er-do-well parents shows up to fight with other students. That wasn't going on there when I was there.
That'd be a bad development.
We may have been doing drugs, but we weren't beating each other up.
You were just off in the corner getting stoned. I mean, it's what happened, which led to your radio career. Obviously, you calculated that you couldn't really be an accountant.
It's a little more outrageous. I wasn't into marijuana. There were some other drugs.
Oh, I see. Well,
okay.
Before we get into the serious meat of social discourse, how did Tom Brokaw ever rise to these levels of stardom at NBC when he couldn't say his L's? I mean,
I'm a Brian Williams guy. I don't like Tom Brokaw.
Brian Williams is a little bit too slick for me. He's got that polished.
Like,
he has a polished look.
I think he's a great storyteller.
Well, he is that, but he plagiarized and made stuff up and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, put him in a long list of people. I'm just saying, as a presenter, I think he's pretty good.
Yes, I was in the kitchen with Bobby Kennedy 49 years ago, Sly. I was bending over him in the kitchen. I mean, what are you going to say? But I will say this, because you're not a guy who's shied away from, shall we say, aggressive, animated rhetoric in political discourse.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not going to say you're advocating violence, although I know you had a little run-in with our friend David Blaska once with some rhetoric, but I understand you've made up.
Yeah, I think so. Although, what did he say the other day on some post where we were arguing about Colleen Kerr? Oh, he said, I wanted to stand in the schoolhouse door because I didn't agree with Colleen's proposal for that charter school. And I said, Yeah, I'm a regular George Carly Wallace.
Yeah, I mean, I was for that, of course. But, you know, again, why can't we just say, I disagree totally, or I'm a socialist, or I'm a communist, and I don't care. Like, I had an openly communist, not socialist, but openly communist political science professor at Butler, Dave Mason. But he was a great guy. You know, we read all the books. He had the ROTC conservative in for the debate, all that. I mean, it was fine. Nobody cared.
I trace some of this back to... even though the Bushes are kind of a lovely family, I
The crime family? Roger Stone says the Bush crime family. I know.
I think they're a nice family, but they hired some real mercenaries. And one of them was Lee Atwater. And I think he kind of started the trend of the real thing.
Well, I mean, he was a tough guy, but they've had guys like that.
Yes, he talked about people being hooked up to jumper cables that had mental health problems. You know, that sort of invective, you know, crossed the line.
Well, talk to the Al Gore campaign for bringing up Willie Horton in that primary.
No, you know, that's true that Al Gore brought that up. But my point is when you start using pictures and you start whipping up people in a way that has a racial component, then I think that's a problem. But I'm not even talking about the Willie Horton ad. I'm talking about the
You had Goldwater people shouting. Richard Viguerie admitted later he shouted down Rockefeller from the bleachers in 64. You had Nixon doing the Southern Strategy. But you also had James Hodgkinson, who could have been on the panel at CNN. I mean, this guy.
Richard J. Daley, using the nastiest
he did call,
for a Jew with Abraham Ribicoff.
Abraham Ribicoff, which you and I are the only ones probably in this half hour who would remember that, which is very disturbing. Turned his mic off. Although, here's trivia for you. Who sang the national anthem at that convention?
Ed Gein?
No. Aretha Franklin.
Did she really?
Aretha
really?
Franklin, yeah. It was fantastic. She kind of messed up the words, but we had the Gore Vidal William Buckley debates going on during that convention.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Why were you and I watching those conventions at age 10?
Well, I wasn't watching that convention.
I did. I watched both.
The next convention, yeah. By 72, I was watching.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. But
look, I mean, we had some provocateurs, I'm trying to think who it was when George Wallace came. He had a bunch of people dressed in Arthur Bremer masks.
Oh, no.
In wheelchairs surrounding George Wallace. Oh, yeah.
Well, that was kind of a political shooting because Bremer was a Humphrey supporter, right?
No, Nixon tried to make it look like he was a McGovern supporter.
Well, no, I think he was a Humphrey supporter, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was, but
yeah.
Speaking of provocateurs, Willie's on the phone. I'm talking about Sly Sylvester. Number to call 210-1667, 210-1667. Talking about political discourse. Willie, of course, who's always practiced civility in his discourse. Hello, Willie.
Boy, you really know how to hurt a guy, don't you?
No, I don't think you can be hurt. I think you're beyond any sensitivity.
Surprised. Us lefties are sensitive. Sly, that was Ben Mazel who came up with the idea of the people in wheelchairs and wearing Arthur Bremer masks.
Ben Mazel spit on Scoop, and Ben Mazel spit on Scoop Jackson. And I like Ben Mazel, he was kind of sorry that he did that.
There was a reason for that. That happened. I mean, Ben was only a 21-year-old kid. Yeah, I know. He was a legal adult at the time. But that happened because they had his Jackson's goons had taken Ben's sign away and slugged him a couple times. And he didn't really spit on him from real close. It was somewhat of a lucky shot.
Could have been distance spit.
And then remember, of course, Scoop Jackson died a couple days after that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Ben was very quick to say that he had nothing to do with it.
Well, I think
there you go. Look, you know, sometimes nastiness in politics is kind of funny. I mean, I think we all laugh.
I think it started with Nixon, not with...
Nixon. I think we
all got a good laugh when Anita Bryant got a pie in the face. Okay.
Well, that was... But have you read the rhetoric in the 1828 race between Andrew Jackson and John Quincy Adams? I mean, the race between Jefferson and Adams back in... 1804, whatever, was brutal. I mean, it was savage what they said about each other. I mean, come on. I mean, they had duels. I mean, you know, obviously Aaron Burr did kill Alexander Hamilton, the father of our monetary system.
I don't blame the rhetoric right now and why that nut job went and shot up.
But you got to admit, though, he could be on the panel at CNN, that guy. If you look at his interviews, the interviews he did and the postings he made, oh, he'd fit right in.
That is a tragic statement.
He could have guest hosted for Rachel. I'm serious.
That is a tragic. Compare it to all of the things.
Okay, I'd like to press a few buttons to one sly.
Compare it to all the things that were said about Obama all those years.
Oh, yes, well.
How many people did mock hangings of Obama? Come on.
37.
You right-wingers are always so quick to blame the left for the violence that you guys do create.
Again, as a former Gary Hart delegate and Jim Doyle employee, I can't really be thrown in with the people in Posse Comitatus.
I was a Goldwater supporter.
You don't want to admit that you're that old, Willie. That's the problem.
I'm older than either of you punks.
You remember the Cardinals coming back to beat the the Phillies in 64. That was really the tragedy in that year. I'm serious. I mean, this was a political killing. I mean, he targeted the Republicans. He wasn't targeting people just for playing
baseball. What I'm saying is, what are we going to blame Bernie Sanders for this? I mean, that's what this sort of Bernie-hating Joy Reid from MSNBC and who's this?
Joy Reid. Good God.
Yeah, she's another pitiful.
What a chatterbox. Oh, my God.
But there's a bunch of Bernie, she's a Bernie hater. I mean, did you see what she said about Bernie supporters the other day? It was just horrible.
I don't know.
There are no worse people than Hillary Clinton supporters.
Well, I will say this,
some of the worst, they're almost as bad as Trumpkins.
We're gonna read about this in 10 years, but I don't think Bernie lost to Hillary by 17 points in California. I think there's some hanky panky there.
Can I respond to this?
Go ahead, Willie.
I'm sorry, but I do. You know, we talk about political killings, and yes, this was of sorts an attempted political killing. How many abortion doctors have been murdered? Are those not right-wing political killings?
Those are, yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, those are.
How many others are there? I mean.
Abortion is not something I would have wanted to do because, of course, it's very, very, very sacred.
We're having this conversation so Mitch can take a break from having to defend the president that's under criminal investigation.
Now I understand. Thanks, Sly.
Yeah, I've always been just in lockstep with everything the Trumpites have done.
You voted for him.
I did not vote for him. Why would you blaseme me on the air?
Vote for him?
I voted for Johnson Weld. I loved Weld. I thought Weld was by far the best in the whole group. But what am I going to say? No, Trumpites are mad at me. Now, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with you for voting for Trump. I just didn't know if Trump was like Bobby Knight, really, that he might just go off and do something crazy. I wasn't sure of his psychological balance.
You know now.
Well, now, of course, I'm turned off by the sycophant impeach Trump tonight media. I mean, it's 24/7. I mean,
you know what?
Let's come back to that.
They haven't been hard enough on him.
No, we'll come back and engage that debate because we cite Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley. They just laugh at the sycophant impeach Trump tonight media. We'll come back.
But those are right-wingers like you.
Will you quit name-calling?
I'm sorry. You're a militant centrist.
It's so unappealing. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MedicineTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
One thing that
that we really appreciated about Tim was his knowledge of the real estate market. Fair prices, what was asking too much, and he knew about development, who the builders were and what their strengths were.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
Tim is a very fun guy, and it was a very enjoyable process.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
Sly Sylvester, my guest, who has his own podcast. Sly, tell me about the podcast.
Sly's Office.com. Brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly's Office.com. United Steelworkers from the region, from Gary, from Hammond, from Whiting, Chicago.
Wisconsin has a ton of steelworkers. They don't just represent steelworkers. They represent paperworkers. They represent people. They represent the fine people that work at Caterpillar.
Very good. I just have memories of union people with pot bellies in 84 tearing my Gary Hart signs off poles.
And good.
Just, you know, those big fat Mondale posters that I used to want to shove up their backside. And of course, I'd go speak at a school in New Jersey. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? I'd say, well, above your belt, sir.
There we go.
And of course, the...
Coming from Michael Phelps. Of course, you might have been Michael Phelps back then.
That's true. And I actually was. We'll show some photos. But the teachers would say, hey, where'd it go? The Gary Hart teacher in the back would smile.
I'm a union thug.
I've been at war with the Mondale crowd ever since.
I was a Mondale supporter.
Well, I'm sure you were, which is kind of a sore point. But getting back to this impeach Trump tonight extravaganza with the media, Dershowitz and Turley and the others have said, hey, it's a unitary branch, the executive branch. It is Trump, the president, is the executive branch.
And you know what? Alan Dershowitz has just been absolutely pummeled for what he said. We've had precedent as Lawrence
pummeled
Tribe.
Pummeled by who? Who's
the Lawrence Tribe.
Oh, Lawrence Tribe.
I will put Lawrence Tribe over Alan Dershowitz. Lawrence Tribe pointed out that we have case law on this. They pointed out that, yes,
Larry,
Donald
you probably
Trump,
had
now,
a...
Listen, let
go
me
ahead.
Finish.
All right, go ahead.
Donald Trump does have unitary power, but he doesn't have the power to abuse that power. And that was decided in the Richard Nixon case.
Well, they can get him on abuse of power, but as you know, that's purely political. There is no subject.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're not subjected to judicial review, as you know. It's a purely political exercise.
I have news for you. Donald Trump firing James Comey has opened such a can of worms for Donald Trump. He only made things worse right. for himself. Yeah, okay, he could do it. And now he's got a criminal investigation. And he can go try to talk to Dan Coats, and he can go try to talk to Mike Rogers, and he can go and insult the CIA, and he can go and insult the FBI. And all he's done is dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And now his entire staff is having to hire lawyers.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry, if you think this is working out for him, and if you think this is the press's fault, you might want to take a look at who the commander is.
Do you really think they're going to impeach Trump on obstruction?
We're near impeachment. What we need to do is find out what happened. And if you think it's normal that Jared Kushner met with those big crooked Russian banks, and if you think it's normal that he hired Paul Manafort, who's in the hip pocket of Yanukovych in Ukraine, you know, I'm sorry, none of this is normal, Mitch. This isn't normal.
They've been investigating the Russian collusion case for 11 months.
Yeah,
what do we have? I mean, what do we have?
You're not going to see
Manafort
evidence.
10 years ago doing business with the Ukrainians. I mean, give me a break.
It wasn't 10 years ago.
Whatever.
Far more recent. The records were destroyed.
And what was Jared, who, by the way...
I can't believe you're putting Trump over your country.
Oh, give me a break.
Which is exactly what you're doing.
No, you're doing is being hysterical over
Watergate
over a non-crime. There's no crime
hysterical.
Here.
This is the first time we've had a president where I truly believe he is not operating in the best interest of the country.
Better to let 10 guilty men go free than convict one innocent man. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. You know,
you keep whistling past the graveyard.
I'm whistling. Sinatra tunes.
Keep whistling.
But, you know, like Jerry Spence said, you know, about the Unabomber in the early days, I like to break cans open with dynamite in my cabin. Does that make me the Unabomber? No.
Okay.
Mrs. Marcos is a nice woman. She bought a lot of coats and hats. All I'm saying is you've got nothing. Frank Sinatra was investigated for 50 years. They found nothing on him.
In the middle of an investigation, you're going to see the evidence?
Middle of what? And they have to go to obstruction because they have no collusion. Don't you know? They couldn't find collusion, so they have to use obstruction. That's what happened.
That's true. That investigation is still open. You're acting like it's closed. It's not.
You got nothing on obstruction. You can't. You're not going to get obstruction. You got no obstruction. Based on what we know now, there is no obstruction.
That investigation.
Lawrence Tribe, who always has at least 3 scotches, by the way, before he goes on one of those interviews. I mean, for God's sake, he's like watching Katharine Hepburn on a sailboat.
What are you talking about?
I mean, Lawrence Tribe, he talks like Susan Collins. It's just, it's a wavering...
Well, you know what, Mitch? Honestly, I've lost a lot of respect. If you think that Lawrence Tribe is somehow inferior to Donald Trump and the hacks...
I was going to say, the respect thing, I'm shocked because you did at one point say
Donna
Shalala was going to move close to Jen Reno.
I'm actually shocked at how low you sunk.
Well, and as opposed to Gerald Turner, we're lucky he lives in Madison, and Donna Shalala moved down to be closer to Janet Reno's crotch. I mean, come on, Sly. I mean, you can't accuse me of singing below that.
I said outrageous things. I'm not defending the indefensible in the White House.
I'm defending the civil liberties of our country.
Oh, the great civil libertarian, Mitch Hank.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. I like hearing that.
You and the
it's very good.
Civil libertarian. Yeah, Mitch Hank, the great
all we are saying is give peace a chance.
If you think this is normal, and by the way, and if you think the collusion investigation is over, you have another guest coming.
I got
They're
another guest coming.
We're just getting started.
We're just getting warmed up.
Warmed up.
Well, so what's the bet? Is it going to end in impeachment? Because you have to get 67 votes to convict. What's going to be the result?
Republicans are going to have to decide when Trump gets down into the 20s whether they're going to stand by him. And if they decide to cover up for a man colluding with the Russians, then
colluding with the Russians. I mean, that is such a, it is so.
Mitch.
Incredible.
When you think about the fact that Manafort went to him and got some of the policies and the platform changed regarding Ukraine and the Russians, and you think about the statements that Trump has made where he's refused to say one bad word about Putin, aren't you just a little suspicious?
All right. Well, in the end, you know what you get in the end is Mike Pence, my former governor.
Well,
you get President Pence, who believed in gay conversion therapy. I don't care.
But you know, that's not what I'm concerned about.
That's
what
the end game.
Is the rule of law.
Well, that's what I'm trying to protect.
Oh yeah.
You want to convict before there's a trial?
No.
You want to bring back lynching? You want to string Trump up?
What I'm talking about here is not short-circuiting this investigation.
Who's talking about that?
You.
I said there's no evidence of collusion to this point.
You're correct. And that is short-circuiting the investigation.
Well, I'm not saying it should stop. I'm just saying there's no evidence of collusion at this point.
Well,
what can I say?
There's a real chance that Donald Trump is going to fire Robert Mueller.
We should wager a corned beef sandwich on that. I can't imagine Trump would do that. But if he did, I mean, that would just be Archibald Cox.
Saying I can't imagine Donald Trump would do something as very.
All right, fine. You know, splitting hairs. So maybe Donald Trump has a few personality problems.
I love these hardworking guys that have small businesses. You know, they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah.
They're the sort of guys that Trump has screwed over the years. Contractors that have worked on his hotel projects. He screwed over the students at Trump University. This guy's been a shyster his entire life. And it's just remarkable to me that so many people bought this guy hook, line, and sinker. And I think it was partly because Hillary is such a miserable wretch.
Did you vote for Hillary?
I did.
Oh, well, I couldn't bring myself to.
I didn't do it happily.
I was on the internet reading about Paul Tully's murder, so I probably was swayed by that.
The body count is like
120.
You think I'm being tough on Trump, but I think the Clintons were operating a shakedown operation. Democrats weren't tough enough on her.
Oh, I just...
You know, I hate the Clintons.
I put her in there with Gerald Turner. I'm sorry. I sought refuge in William Weld. What can I tell you? But we'll see what happens. I'm not saying Trump is innocent as the pure driven snow, but I do believe that you're innocent until proven guilty. It's one of those wacky things. Call me nutty, call me crazy. But
I enjoy the
discourse as always.
Yeah, that was fun.
I don't think we solved the discourse problem, though.
No, we didn't.
No.
We only made it worse.
That's true. Willie, thank you so much. Use some Grecian formula, Willie. It might help. We'll come back with a couple of guests on the same topic on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.